Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me this episode is Mr. Pete Rock, man. Peter, what's up, man?
What's up? How you doing?
I was like, hey, almost on mute.
What's up, man?
Almost on mute, man. Robust. Everything's good. How's everything over
I'm
there,
exhausted.
Man?
I am exhausted.
Same.
Lucky enough yesterday to go to this place called Pizol Bad Ragaz in Switzerland. And we did a hike. It's like 12 kilometers. I think we went up just over 2,000 feet in elevation, like from the bottom to the top. It was spectacular. Yeah. I mean, it was quite amazing. Just the view. And again, just being with my wife and with friends, it was just spectacular. It's probably going to be the last hike of the season because the weather's starting to really dip now. And there was times during that hike where you're like, whoa, let me pull out the jacket again and put it back on. But yeah, man, it's one of those things that I didn't know I needed to have as a hobby living out here. Obviously, you know, when we were living in Florida, like our the biggest mountain is probably the trash heap. So to finally understand and appreciate that whole experience of hiking through the woods or through a mountain range and just being in awe of nature is just spectacular. So it was quite remarkable. And shout out to my wife who underwent some brave moments in overcoming some adversities.
That's good, man. How long was the hike? How long was that? You guys,
let's see. First we left here at like 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday. You know you're invested, you know you're dedicated when you're waking up at 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday, mm-hmm. when you don't have to. I think we got there 9:45. We started at around 10 o'clock, and then I think our descent started around 2:30. So probably a good 5.5-6 hours of uphill hiking. Like it was like we started and it was just up. It was just like up and then go to the left and then go up and go to the right and then go up. And it was just nonstop uphill till we got to the and it wasn't even the top of the mountain. This is just like the halfway point.
That was a sneak peek.
And that's when we realized, okay, we've got a lot more to go and we're not going to make it down because I think the last chairlifts and gondolas go, you know, stopped at like 4:30. So it was like, in order to make sure we got to the bottom in time, you know, we were like, okay, here's where we stop. If we're going to do the top part, we now know that we have to go where we started. And then there's another chairlift that starts from there that you have to go.
Oh my God. That sounds fun though. Sounds fun.
Yeah. It's hard to describe, right? Obviously, you know, us, you know, you're Cuban Koreans and in Miami or whatever, and in Dominican in LA, right? It's hard to appreciate that experience when you're living in a flat land of South mm-hmm. Florida. You see it more now, right? Cause you're in LA and there's hills mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but just seeing these mountain peaks in awe, seeing these valleys, it's like living in Game of Thrones and you're seeing like these massive valleys and winding rivers and mountains on all sides. And it's just remarkable. It's definitely an experience that everybody should go through at least once in their life.
Nah, I've seen the pictures. I was very jealous. I'm like, oh man, that looks fun. It looks fun.
And you know what? As amazing and as beautiful as those pictures are, you definitely earn those pictures. Right, you put in the work. You're like, it was, All right. They are, according to my watch, it said, I think the coldest it was 11 degrees mm-hmm. Celsius, but you feel it because the wind is hitting you and you're sweating. So like the wind and, you know, the cold wind hits you while you're sweating and it's just, it's that oh, much bad. More cold. But again, you earn those pictures. So when you take them, it's like you make sure you take a lot because you want to make sure yeah. you post the right ones. And make sure that they look good, but yeah, you definitely you earn the badge of being able to post those pictures on your social medias because it's a lot of work and effort to get up there to do that. And again, I'm thankful I'm healthy enough to go up there and do that.
Nice.
It's good. And if and when you ever make it out here to Switzerland, I will definitely.
Oh, I'm ready for that. Let's do it.
We'll yeah, definitely do that.
All right, everyone, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. You also can find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, and also post a review. If you would like to be part of our family discussion or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So, Pete, let's talk about a couple things that's been going on. By the way, before we start the topics, you know, I think it was SkillUp that posted this on Twitter, I think a couple hours ago, and I had to retweet it because I didn't know it was going to be this big of the amount of games coming out this month of October 2021. So here goes, P. I'm going to mention the games that's coming out this month. You tell me what you think so far. This is a sneak peek of what's coming for the holiday season, especially early next year, which is going to be a lot of games. So Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, I think a lot of people are excited for that. That reminds them of like Smash. Alan Wake Remake, mm-hmm. Battlefield 2042 Beta, which comes out, I believe, this weekend coming up. Far Cry 6, Metroid Dread, Switch OLED. It's not a game, but it's a new device. Back for Blood, forgot this coming out this week. Dark Pictures, House of Ashes. Highly recommended to play previous Dark Pictures games. Solar Ash, Guardians of the Galaxy, Age of Empires 4, and Riders Republic. Mm. That's a pretty good list for the month of October, man. Not bad.
It's not bad. Not bad. It's funny because it is October, and there's, aside from the ones mm-hmm. mentioned, there's some notorious big-name shooters that are no longer launching now in October, and I do find it strange. They used to like start like in late September, early October, and then spread out throughout like the October, November on launches, and now it's become like a November, December yep. launch mm-hmm. window for the big shooters. So it's curious. It's really nice to see. Actually, I don't even know if it's nice. I just think it's interesting to see that those have shifted further into the launch windows and not into the holidays.
Yeah, because November is what? Call of Duty Vanguard, also mm-hmm. Battlefield, which the full I don't even know why they're releasing in November. I find that so odd. But hey, it's EA. Do your thing. And then they Halo Infinite, December 8th, right before
yep.
the Game Awards.
December 8th or 9th? I thought no, it was December 9th. Oh, no, December 9th is the Game Awards. December 8th is the
which
game.
Is pretty That's smart. Right. They could have like sponsor mm-hmm. that event. December 9th and promoted all the way. That's good. But speaking of Halo Infinite, have you been playing the big team battle? Did they added it this past weekend?
Absolutely.
I'm loving it. Absolutely. I'm loving it, Pete. I did the most craziest gameplay I think I've ever done in Halo, period. I don't know if you've seen the video. Have you seen the video?
I think I saw the video this morning. Yeah, where you stole. And it's funny because those types of videos have been all over social media for like the past 48 yeah. hours of people jacking a warthog and driving it off, jacking a warthog that's manned by the enemy team and then driving it off. I knew it was your video when I saw you crashing everything.
Yeah.
Because I've seen others. But like at first when I saw it, I was like, wait a minute. Why did I see this before? Then I saw the crashing into the trees. And I was like, oh, no, this is Danny.
Yeah. And I'm like, he wasn't getting off. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to drop. I have a grabber hook. So I'm going to just shoot it and climb up. Because I was about to fall all the way down, man. Dude, I did some like Spider-Man move, man. There you go. Spider-Man exclusive.
And I noticed you went for the reload first as soon as you jumped out of the warthog. It's strange seeing as many times as we've seen that on social media, like over the last 48, actually since last week, right? Since the last flight, people are still not paying attention to who's driving the warthog during those moments. It's like, how do you not see the character in the front driver's seat in red? Or you know, like, you know, if you've got, you know, the color correction or whatever, how do you not see the enemy driving the vehicle? How do you not see them get booted out of the car?
Yeah, because it's obvious, dude. It's really obvious to do that, you know? Yeah. I think people are not really paying attention to the color of the character that's driving. Because you could change the colors if
like,
you want.
And you see it. Well, it's just you see the whole action happen in front. You see the character jumping on to the warthog or the ghost or whatever vehicle you happen to jump on. Now, if it happens on one of the flying vehicles,
You screw there.
that's when it really gets interesting. I'd love to see it happen on a warthog because those things go zipping and flying by. To be able to hit one with the grapple shot would be really dope. But to see one on like one of the flying vehicles, whether it's a ghost or a phantom or whatever, just to see that, I think that would be really dope.
Yeah. No, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun, man. But honestly, I feel like I'm having a better time with the Team Slayer 4v4 unless I go with a group to play Big Team Battle. I don't have fun playing Big Team Battle by myself with randoms. I think I'm having a better time with just friends. Because we did that yesterday. We got together 10 people in total. And shout out to my brother Nano, Rihanna. It was a good group. A couple people from Game Informer, we just got together and just started playing it. That was fun. Yeah. Nice. But are you having fun with Big Team Battle? Have you played by yourself or no?
I've been playing a lot of solo and I've said this in the past. When I play multiplayer games like this, I much more prefer playing with friends and randoms.
Yeah. Same here.
Last week when we did last week after we recorded the show, we jumped on. We had a random listener who just happened to be watching at the same time. I was like, is this open? And I was just like, well, you know, let's do it. Jump on in, you know, jump onto Discord and jump in. I'll bring you in. We brought in Khalif and we started wrecking shop. It was fantastic. Nice. It was great. And that's I think is one of the core pillars of enjoyment for what Halo does in particular, especially, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, but in particular, that camaraderie, it's almost like playing co-op with your friends. You just happen to be, you know, hundreds or thousands of miles away or whatever. But it's that enjoyment of playing with a group of friends and having fun. And it's one of the reasons why I'm so looking forward to this Halo launch come December, because I know I'm going to be playing whether it's with you guys, whether it's with, you know, listeners/viewers, whether it's my son, because I know it, because he and I play Halo co-op, you know, on the campaign all the time. It's the enjoyability of that. And then that's just three or four that's three player or four player multiplayer. But when you start talking, man, that chat is going to be
wild.
A, it's going to be loud because everybody's going to be talking. Yeah. B, it's going to be toxic because we're all going to be talking bleep.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really glad. I know that was a question that I put up on Twitter last week about Big Team Battle was, are we going to be allowed to group up in a big 12v12? If I've got 11 friends that want to play Halo with me to play, whether it's another team of 12 or three teams of four or eight teams of three, whatever variable you want to do. I want to be able to do that. I want to bring all my friends into that team, and I'm into that fire team. And I'm glad that they lit that up to happen.
Yeah, because I I asked a couple of people from 343, hey, is it possible to say, yeah, you hear everything? I'm like, oh, okay, all right, that's good. So you could also start your own party, which if you want, you could do that too. Start talking in the game or like how we've been playing it through Discord too. So you're good.
Yep.
It's really, really good. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Now, which mode is your favorite one in Big Team Battle? Because I'll tell you mine. So I'll tell you which one I like the most.
Stronghold?
Stronghold is up there, yeah. That's one of my favorites.
I mean, Slayer is great, but I think the objective ones are more fun because when you play as a team, right? When you play as the team, as a cohesive unit, and everybody is playing the objective as opposed to maybe you're on playing Big Team Battle and you've got like three people who are actually playing the objective, but everybody else is playing Slayer. That ruins the fun of the game, right? Yes, I understand everybody's trying to go for kills or trying to go for, you know, for moments in the game and stuff like that. But when you play as a team, whether you're a big team of 12 or, you know, whatever variation of multiple of 12 you want to do, whenever you do those together as a team and it's successful, you see how well that functions and how quickly you actually end up to that end game of winning, right? So if you're playing Capture the Flag or Stronghold or whatever, and you start capturing the objectives and you start capturing one objective, two objectives, and then you grab all three objectives and you're holding that position, that is that's that camaraderie, that fun factor, because you're like, yeah, we're doing it. They can't stop us. That's the enjoyment, at least for me. I know there's other people that are playing it for other reasons, but for me, that's where I really, really get the enjoyment of playing. Mm-hmm. And conversely, that's where the frustration comes when you're playing and you only have like maybe two or three people that are playing the objective. Everybody else is doing their own thing. And it gets frustrating because nobody's communicating. Nobody's doing the right thing. And it's just, it becomes a bleep show at that point. And it's no fun, right? It's like, okay, well, I don't want to play this anymore. Let me go find something else to play. You'll throw in Hades or something. Right? But yeah, that's when the fun happens, is when everybody's clicking on the same thing and just boom, 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 boom.
I have to mention one more thing that they definitely have to fix this because it's really annoying. I find the music really loud in the game. Extremely.
And you can't change it? You can't remove it?
Yeah, you can remove it. But I mean, I play other games. I don't have to go to the options and remove it. Like it will lower it down. Mm. For some strange reason, the music is super loud. So I have to go to the settings and turn off the music because sometimes I can't hear people when we get together, you know, part of the fire team. It's really annoying. I find that extremely annoying.
It's funny. It's just a habit now for me when I start a multiplayer game. I go if I'm not playing a campaign, music goes off automatically, or maybe it goes
I'm not used to that.
One or two or three, just so I can barely hear it. I immediately turn it off. I always do that on every multiplayer game because I don't want to hear the music. I'm listening for footsteps.
Nah, but here's the thing, man. I like the experience when you play Halo Infinite multiplayer with the music on. You'll hear the music once you reach, like, let's say you're playing Team Slayer. You hear the music midpoint, right, of the match. Now you're halfway to victory, right? Or at the end of the game or the beginning, it's very exciting. I like to hear the music, you know? I like that. That's for me. It gets me excited. But the thing is, in the lobby, it's extremely loud. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm always complaining about it when I'm playing with friends and everybody else. And I just turned it off. You know what I'm saying? But that's just me. You tell me if you guys agree or not. But that's how I feel.
I mean, again, I like the music in the campaign, like I was saying, but for multiplayer, I'm going to turn it off at the beginning because I don't want to deal with it. And yes, I do get it. It does give you some kind of an ambiance or some kind of a hype at the beginning or end when you win. But for me, it's all about hearing everything else in the actual gameplay, like setting the stage or the final stage when you've already won. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess, yeah, I'm missing out on it. Maybe if they gave us like a separate way to maybe mute or lower it. Like to lower the in-game music with like you can lower it down
through the settings.
Quick action or something like that. Yeah, but you have to like pause what you're doing.
And yeah, it is annoying.
Like if I'm in the middle of a game and I want to do that, I could definitely see where the annoyance would be for you, where it gets too loud. I'm curious because I know we're going to be talking about New World in a little bit, but I'm curious because I know the focus of obviously this month's flight was the ability to scale servers to deal with the load or capacity of players. Mm-hmm. Right. And so far for me in you know, playing here in Europe, it's been pretty good. Yeah, I'm playing with a 90 ping, but I accept that when I jump into the thing and I understand that. I'm just curious how the launch is going to go, because at this point, I think, and I might not be alone in this one, but I'm pretty sure the players are starting to get jaded, and they're already anticipating problems on launch simply because it happens with every other game, mm-hmm. right? We look at, you know, we saw what happened with New World last week when it launched. But you would think teams from Microsoft and Amazon would be able to solve for these, since they run the two biggest cloud services in the world with Azure and AWS. So I'm hoping that they're able to overscale or compensate for these, you know, ahead of time, especially for this launch, because we know how crucial this game is to Xbox. And then the other thing that they're doing with this flight is gathering data on PC hardware, right? We know that the first flight last month, they had some issues with PC performance. And that's not a problem typically for consoles, because every console is exactly the same with the exact same parts, whether it's the 1S or the 1X. I'm sorry, the Series S or the
Series
X.
Or the 1. Right? This is also available for the 1.
That's true. But it becomes a challenge when you start trying to solve for all the various bits and pieces on PC, because everybody's running different builds. And I know that they did some fixes for the 900 series cards between the last flight and this flight, but people who have like a 900 card, like a 970, 960, 980, 980 Ti, they really can't play in this month's flight. So it's really, it's a concern. When you see older consoles or older platforms that are being supported to play it, mm-hmm. but the newer build on PCs, they can't. The requirements say that a bare minimum is a 1050 Ti, but like friends of mine that have a 900 or 980 won't be able to play. So I'm curious how well they're going to solve for that between this flight and launch. If they're going to be able to make it so that more people can play outside of, you know, those who have, you know, the privilege of having a 1050 or whatever, or they can do it for, if they can do some kind of a problem solve for those things for people with a lower quality card.
You know, I have a question about that. Do you think 343 are going to have at least one more technical preview before launch, or you think this is it? Because it's only 2 months away.
I think so. I think we'll have another now. Whether they do,
so we'll be like maybe November.
This is the beginning of October. It's the beginning of October. Yes,
and
I think
the beginning of November.
There's going to be at least October, November, November. Yeah, there's a minimum. There's just over 2 months, right? Between the launch, I think they'll have at least one more.
Yeah. So
I think that benefits them more than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Having that one last chance to grab all that data to make sure that they've got everything tweaked and tuned right. I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least one, maybe two.
Maybe two? I think one more. I think maybe one two. More will be good, in my opinion. And then everybody pre-order, get it ready, you know, preload, all that stuff, and that's it. The game comes out in December. Mm-hmm. Because two, I think it will be too much, in my opinion. Maybe they'll do something like similar, which is happening now. Maybe if it's two, have like a smaller group play, mm-hmm. right? And then the second one will be, okay, everyone could play it. That type of thing.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's why I think there's going to be at least one public and maybe an extra private one.
Okay. All right. You hear it here first.
Don't hold that to hey. I'm just Pete in Switzerland, man. But you know, there's no guarantees. Yeah. But if it becomes right,
yeah, you said it. All right. Pete. So let's talk about New World. So I don't know anything about the game. I know this is from Amazon Game Studios, and it was released last week. I've been seeing a lot of people talking about it. I know that one of the questions I asked you was, can we play this using controller or this is straight up mouse and keyboard? It looks like one person said you could try out with the Steam controller, but that's about it. Mouse and keyboard all the way. So it's been a week. Yep. Have you been playing this at all the past week? Because I know the first few days, it was really hard just to get in the game. Has it gotten better? Yeah.
No, it's gotten much better. And so I'll admit, I bit into the hype, and I don't know how or why this happened. Admittedly, and everybody knows, I'm not an MMO fan. And shout out to Cypher. I have to give props to her. Shout out to Cypher for giving me a key to play it. Just for MMOs and me, it just doesn't usually click. You know, all the knowledge read that's required, you know, the various things you need to stay on top of, whether, you know, your classes or your perks and stuff like that. It's always been difficult for me to grasp and just play an MMO. But to me, I think New World it's caught on so well because it's beginner friendly, right? And so while it does that while still being able to keep even the most advanced MMO fan engaged. I think for me, it's like that because the action is similar to an action game, right? You have light attacks, heavy attacks, your block and your dodge, and then you've got time available abilities, mm-hmm. With various keys. And because it's still early in the game, things aren't crazy difficult for me yet, right? I have one character that's a level 9 and one character is level 13. Actually, I just leveled it up right before we came online, the show. And plus there's always people in various stages of the game. And they're usually over there, whether you're grouped up as part of a faction, or you just happen to bump into somebody doing the same quest as you that helps you get through that. For me, that's where it's gotten a little bit easier for me to just jump in and play. But when you do get to play with friends, that's when the fun really starts. And that's just for the PvE portion. There's a PvP component to this, which for me is totally new territory, right? When you talked to me about games like this, I think the first game that would have come close to getting this kind of excitement or hype for me has probably been Diablo 3.
Oh my God, remember you were...
I was hardcore addicted to that game. I was so hype and addicted to that game. So it's been a while and I'm really, really enjoying it. So the PvP, I haven't really had a chance to delve into it simply because I'm too low level. And every time I've gone into a contested area from another faction, I've just gotten smashed because there's level, 20 and above or level 30s in there. But to play it in the PvP, it gives you a reason to actually participate in doing this. So if your faction wins on a particular server, your faction starts to spread. And when I jumped into the game earlier today, I noticed that the Eternum was mostly purple with a small group of green down at the bottom. And I was like, dang, they've really been putting in work. So it's really cool because as you start to overtake bigger lands, you start to get lower trading costs or lower crafting fees in that region. And it encourages people to play, or it encourages people to actually continue playing the game, as opposed to just jumping in for 3 hours and then not playing it for another week or two. So for me, it's been a lot of fun.
That's good.
I can't say that there's been good without saying the bad. Yes, the bad, you heard it, and they've done an amazing job of continuing to work and pushing out servers to, reduce the load that have been on. There was queue times of 8 or 9 hours. Can you imagine that?
That's a lot, dude.
Going to bed, going to bed, starting the game and going into queue. And then when you wake up, hope that you're not in queue anymore.
Yeah, that's too much. That's
too much. So they've done a phenomenal job of scaling out servers to accommodate whether you're in the US, whether you're in the EU or everywhere else. And they've done a really, really good job with that. The other parts, I think it's synonymous with most MMOs, fetch quest system, right? You go here, kill X, search for that. And then when it's got, especially no relevance to the actual story, it's just go do this, just like a time killer. It kind of annoys me. Mm-hmm. But I get that it serves several purposes in the game, right? It helps your character level up so you can actually go and do bigger, better things. You get new gear like that, You know, that's basically part of the grind, right? And then the other annoyance for me, I think, would be world traversal. It's you just run and run and run. It's a running simulator sometimes, and it gets annoying. Yeah. There are fast travels, but it's not like any other game where you just fast travel. You just go from point A to point B really quickly. They're timed. So if you do it, you might get locked out for 30 minutes, right? So you're not just fast traveling from place to place. You have to do the run, or you're like, all right, I really want to fast travel.
Is it worth it right now or not?
Yeah. And yeah. Okay. And you have to use up resources to fast travel. So it's not just a one-time cost. Like you have to like make sure you've got resources to do the fast travel, or else you might as well just start hit auto run and walk away. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And then I think the big issue that everybody thought was solved was the GPU bricks, right? When the beta came out a few months ago, it caused EVGA 30 series cards, the most expensive cards in the world. Can you imagine? You know, with the shortage that's going on in the world right now and the super high cost of video cards, imagine burning out your GPU and then having to worry about, am I going to be able to get it? Thankfully, EVGA has been really, really good about replacing the GPUs that have been affected. And the fact that they've been doing such a good job about that, of, you know, doing replacements, I think they've been, you know, as long as you were able to provide proof of it, they would send it to you ahead of time. Mm. So like you would ship it while yours is shipping to them. So it's kind of almost like a trust factor situation or the honor system. So that way you could be solved for and cause. And apparently there was a manufacturing glitch with one of the chips. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head right now. But it was actually a manufacturing fault that caused it. It was, you know, it didn't hit QA, you know, it didn't hit QC. And it just, that was, you know, they accepted the blame for that. But now with the launch, it seems that it's affecting Gigabyte GPUs as well. And the concern that a lot of people are having is that they've got a really poor track record on returns and RMAs. So if you have a Gigabyte GPU, please be careful. if you have to go to Reddit or Jace2Cents or Linus Tech Tips, check them out. They've been talking about it for like the last week. If you want to take my advice, I would say, cap your game. Don't automatically go into full uncapped FPS mode, because that is going to start causing the problem if you have a faulty GPU or if you have a GPU that could be impacted by this cause. If you're overclocking, I'd say drop that back to either normal or maybe even go down undervolted to like maybe 90%. So that way there's some wiggle room in case some, you know, one of your components decides to spark mm-hmm. up. Some people are saying that the cause of it isn't the actual GPUs. They're the side effect of the actual cause. Some people are saying that Amazon, because they're using Lumberyard is Amazon's game engine, right? Similar to like Slipstream for 343 or Snowdrop for Ubisoft, like their game engine, they're using what's called Lumberyard. Lumberyard is based off the original CryEngine from 2002 that gave us Crytek, which in and of itself was known to cripple PCs when Crytek first came out. Amazon is scheduled to replace the current version of Lumberyard to the newest iteration later this year. How that's going to impact New World, I don't know. So hopefully they're working, you know, I'm assuming that their teams are working side by side so it doesn't impact the game launch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you are playing New World, fantastic. If you're in Syndicate as your faction, even better. If not, I feel bad for you guys. But yeah, if you are overclocking, maybe dial it back a little, you know, just to make sure your computer has wiggle room just to compensate, just in case. Cause what is apparently happening is, it's calling on resources when the game plays, and it'll start just overloading your machine, causing your fans to run up and temperature spikes to occur. And the last thing you want to do is play the game. Your screen turns black and you got to reset your machine and your GPU. You find out your GPU is dead, right? Just from playing the game. I mean,
that's terrible.
If you do, if And if you're not fortunate enough, if you're not, you know, blessed by the financer gods to have a backup GPU, you're in a world of hurt, right? Last, you know, especially in today's day and age. Oof. When I thought I burnt out my GPU a few months ago, which was actually the result of a bad cable. It had started coming loose and it burnt out the cable, but it didn't damage my GPU. I went out and I tried to buy a GPU and it almost cost me $1,800.
Oh my God, dude. That's scary. That's scary.
So yeah, again, if you're playing New World, welcome to Eternum. If you're overclocking your machine, please dial it back. Just until we find a solution, whether it's through the tech side, whether it's through Amazon and their development team, whether it's a hardware issue, just be careful, be cautious. Yeah,
be very cautious because that price tag, not good, not good.
For a $40 investment on your, you know, to play the game, is it worth almost burning out a $1,500 to $2,000 card? I don't know if it's worth it. So just be careful. Yeah.
Thanks, Amazon. All right. So we're going to. Thanks, Jeff. Cool. You're cute. So we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, this episode of Gamertag Radio is sponsored by Namecheap, who is offering all Gamertag Radio listeners an exclusive deal. Get a .live domain name today for only $1.99. .live is the perfect domain name and brand name for gamers, live streamers, and esports players. Seamlessly redirect your live streams to Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, or any streaming platform. Promote your .domain name in your bio, social posts, live shoutouts, and stream chats and grow your fan base today. But if .live is not for you, Namecheap got another offer for anyone who is thinking about starting a new website. All GTR Radio listeners can get 30% off any non-premium domain name, including .com and other popular extensions. To access either of the deals, go to Namecheap.com and select any non-premium domain name and enter the code GTR in the promo box at checkout. Now, Namecheap is the world's second largest domain registrar and a top service provider for everything you need to launch an amazing website. Namecheap has been an industry leader for more than 20 years, and their mission is to make the internet accessible and affordable for everyone. Namecheap offers hundreds of domain extensions from traditional .com and .net to .gg and .live, which has become a go-to for many gamers and streamers. All right, GTR Radio listeners, let's take advantage of this. Namecheap is offering you, the listener, a .live domain for only $1.99. The original price is $20.88, plus 30% off any other non-premium domain name for its first year of registration. The offer cannot be combined with any existing sales, but can overdrive any current sales if its discounted is less than 30%. So take action right now, GTR listeners, to get your .live domain name for only $1.99 or enjoy 30% off any non-premium domain name. Go to Namecheap.com. Search for your desired domain. Use the code GTR at checkout.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
I think we should talk about one more thing before we wrap it up here, because I know I want us to play Halo Infinite Big Team Battle. We get a good group before I think this is the last session, right? I think there's one more tonight.
Correct. Yeah, it's the last session. Yeah, there's one tonight and there's one later today. So
okay.
Who knows? Hopefully 343 leaves his lights on too for just a little bit on both sessions, because I can only play in the afternoon session. So if you want to leave the lights on for maybe 30, 45 minutes or an hour after,
I know, right? That would be awesome.
You'll get no complaints from me.
Yeah. When this one ends right now? 2 o'clock?
The first one is
2 o'clock my time, right?
10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific, and then the next one is was it 7 yeah. till?
Yeah, we should play right after this. We could you know, take a little short break, eat whatever, and then come back and boom, play. Yeah, so whoever is watching, you can join us. You can join us with you.
5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific.
You guys say Pacific?
Pacific.
Yo, I'm excited about this, P. I know Jeff Keighley just posted this a couple of days ago, that the Game Awards 2021 will be an in-person event this December. We're here in Los Angeles, man. So I'm going. I'm definitely going this time. I've never been to the Game Awards. I'm excited to go and check it out. Is that award going to be too late for you to watch back at home?
Considering that's going to be what, 6-7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time? Yeah, that's going to like start at like 2 a.m. for me.
You're going to be knocked out.
I'm gonna be sleeping. Oh, sleep is so good. I think it's pretty remarkable how Jeff has pulled this whole thing together. Mm-hmm. And not just that, he's got like 40 different video, social, and gaming platforms, like pushing it out. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I know the big ones are gonna be YouTube, obviously Twitch, of course, and then Twitter is gonna be doing it in 4K as mm-hmm. well. I think it's pretty remarkable. I have a question though. Do you have any predictions of what we're gonna see?
Games. I think we might see something from Microsoft. That's for sure. Maybe we'll get to see maybe like a Perfect Dark or something, Starfield or something big, right? That's coming out next year. I think that'll be smart. Or any of the games that like from PlayStation, Nintendo, that is actually coming out next year. I think we finally going to see something like another trailer. I mean, this is besides E3, this is the best spot to promote your game. Anything that's coming out next year. You know, I mean, we got to see Zelda for the Switch before it came out. That was the first time we got to see gameplay was through the Game Awards. So now that Jeff Keighley has the numbers, has the stats, and this always create a buzz every time they show a major trailer, I think it'll be awesome. I mean, think about it, Pete. This is the first time we got to get to see the announcement of Xbox Series X was at the Game Awards. Yep. You know? So maybe we'll get to see Hellblade gameplay finally. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? What is your prediction? What are the games that you would like to see?
All right. I think one of the big ones we'll see Dragon Age announcement.
Okay. That's a good one.
It was announced at Game Awards in 2018, and we haven't heard
Jack
squat. We haven't heard anything, right? So I think we'll hopefully see something, right? I think it's time. You know, there's been 3 years just since the announcement at Game Awards. You know, right? Give us something. I think we'll see something from Elden Ring, from Software and Bandai Namco. We saw some gameplay at Opening Night Live with Jeff earlier this year, so why not? Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense. And then I think, strangely enough, I've been doing my homework. Final Fantasy 16.
Okay.
Square's been talking about it. They've been kind of like giving little bits and little tidbits here and there. I know they did a little bit over at Tokyo Game Show. They didn't show a lot at E3 or Gamescom. But at Tokyo Game Show, they started talking a little bit more. And I think this will be probably the last big chance we get to see it before it actually launches next year in June. I think it's June 16th or something like that of next year. So I think this is going to be the last really, really big showcase for them. And I know they were supposed to show a trailer or a demo at Tokyo Game Show, but they didn't hit the deadline in time to be able to do it. So I think now that they've had 2 months, actually by the time the Game Awards happens, it'll be an easy 3 months.
I think that will be huge.
August, September.
November. I can see that.
It'll have given them 4 months to do more for that demo to do that launch. So I think we'll see. I think we'll see Final Fantasy 16. I think that'll be the big one everybody's looking forward to.
I'll tell you this. I definitely think that we might see Keanu Reeves over there again. Because if you think about it, usually when a big movie comes out, they always go to the Game Awards to promote, maybe present an award or something, you know. So the release of Matrix 4 is super close to when the Game Awards is. So I could definitely see Keanu Reeves presenting an award. And, you know, mix it with Cyberpunk and all that stuff, you know, in there. I could definitely see that. What do you think of my prediction?
Yeah, so the movie comes out December 22nd.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to have them there. Now, hands down, I could definitely see that, you know. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yo, man, hire me, man. That's a marketing person or something, you know. Come on, smart. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm thinking who else? Maybe I'm thinking what anything else is coming around that time. Anything else from that? Like any other games? I think this is about it that I can think of. Now, do you think Nintendo's going to show something? I have no idea.
I don't know.
They're pretty random.
With them, I don't know with Nintendo anymore. They fly to their own.
Yeah,
they do whatever they want. They don't listen to anybody else.
They don't care. They're like, we're good.
They don't jump on the bandwagon of anybody else. They're like, nope, we're gonna do Nintendo's gonna do Nintendo things, and that's it. That's all you're gonna get. I don't know. I mean,
you know, it'll be crazy. You know, it'll be really crazy. The rumor of Hideo Kojima working on a project with Xbox. Could that be the venue to show it what it is? That the announcement, something like that. Is that possible?
Right.
Because remember, he has a strong relationship with Jeff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's possible. And Xbox.
There's a good opportunity.
Yeah, and Xbox
there.
Too. I mean, that would be genius to show it here and just surprise the crowd. The crowd will go nuts. Me personally, I'm like, hey, you know, cool. We'll see. But I think that's the best venue to do it, Honestly.
I can see that. And then I'm going to one up your Keanu Reeves.
I got to hear this.
Keanu Reeves Matrix thing here. I think we'll finally see something from Naughty Dog's Last of Us TV series on HBO.
Wait, when is
Because it comes out next
early
year.
Early next year, right?
Supposed to come out next year. Yeah.
You know what? I can see that.
Pedro Pascal. Pedro Pascal is supposed to be in that, so I think there's another actor, you know, another big actor that could, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be Pedro Pascal and Gabriel Luna. They did a movie. I can't remember that.
So Pedro's going to show up. Pedro's going to show up, present an award.
Yes.
And promote Last of Us.
Pedro Pascal or Gabe, yeah. It could be all three of them, right? It could be Pedro Pascal and then whoever. I don't remember who they got to. Actually, you know what?
That is smart.
The girl that's going to play Ellie is the girl that played she was the one that played the young queen in Game of Thrones.
See,
she was like 10. You've never seen it? Okay. All right. Well, she played like a 10 or 11 year old like queen, in Game of Thrones, and everybody, she gave like the greatest RBF face in TV history. She gave zero Fs.
That's dope.
And it was fantastic. So yeah, it's going to be, you know, there you go.
That's a pretty good prediction. I like that.
Last of Us TV come up there, do an announcement or do like a, you know, we're going to announce, you know, here's, you know, the winner of whatever game.
Yeah.
Award.
Well, I know there's a new Resident Evil coming out. I've seen the new images. Oh, it looks questionable. I don't know. But we might see them too. It looks like somebody in the chat posted her name.
Liana Mormont. Yep, that's who played that. That's the character she played in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Okay. There you go, Pete. I mean, I like our predictions. It doesn't sound crazy. Like I can see it happen. Good. You know. So, yeah.
Pretty good.
Also, we're gonna wrap it up here. Pete, anything else? Anything else? I'm excited for the interview. You know, the interview that was posted for this episode. I think it was really good.
Mm-hmm. No. You did. Fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
Fantastic job.
I was a month in the making. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to episode 1167. If you're watching the live stream, In a few minutes, we're going to come back here and we're going to play some Halo Infinite Big Team Battle so anybody could join. Anybody. I think up to 12 people. We'll do a 12v12. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll do that. That's going to be a lot of fun because there's only a couple hours left. P only could play this session. He can't play the session later on tonight. So it's better to take a minute.
I mean, I could. I'd be horrible at work
tomorrow. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't worry. November will be a good time to play. You don't have to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be fine.
So, so if you guys have any questions, feedback, or you want to be part of our FanMail segment or episode, which I would love to do an episode, all FanMail questions, but it's up to you guys. You guys send the questions, we'll do it. You don't send the questions, we're not going to do it. It's up to you guys. So here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Remember, guys, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, and also post a review. It will help us out so much. Make it happen. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.